death, and then what? I'll read the following quote. To suppose that the eye, with all its inimitable contrivances for adjusting the focus to different distances, for admitting different amounts of light, and for the correction of the spherical and chromatic aberration, could have been formed by natural selection seems, I freely confess, absurd to the highest degree possible. This was said in 1872 by Mr. Charles Darwin, who is considered the father of evolutionary biology. Another quotation, the impossibility that this grand and wondrous universe with our conscious selves arose through chance seems to me the chief argument for the existence of God. And Mr. Darwin wrote this in 1873. I honestly feel bad for the man, as it must have been torture for him, not knowing what to believe. Can a dead God damage our brain? If we feel that God is a crutch for the weak-minded, or like Friedrich Nietzsche, we consider God dead, then, my friend, I'll give you my best wishes. Let's just be careful that our life does not end in disillusionment as it did with Friedrich, the German philosopher, who said, God is tot, or God is dead. The poor fellow had a mental breakdown for the last 11 years of his life. That means he died at the age of 56, so he pretty much lost it at the age of 45. Dr. Vilayanur Ramachandran of the University of California in San Diego said that the phenomena of religious belief in God is hardwired in our brain. Could this heretofore unidentified part of the brain, nicknamed the God module, actually be some sort of physiological seat for religious belief? The scientists who discovered it believe it might be. The scientists said that although the research and its conclusions are preliminary, initial results suggest that the phenomenon of religious belief is hardwired in the brain. Now, with this in mind, it might be wiser not to fight against the existence of God too much, because we could damage our brain, like poor Friedrich, as religious belief seems to be hardwired up there. We can say anything we like, as Nietzsche did, but now he is dead and it looks like God is still alive and kicking, holding the universe and all mass together as the energy of E equals mc squared, refusing to accept evidence. Dr. Einstein said there are three kinds of people. One, those who see. Two, those who see when they are shown. Three, those who do not see. I'd like to add number four. There are none so blind as those refusing to see. Marie Curie added the fifth. There are sadistic scientists who hurry to hunt down errors instead of establishing the truth. The dictionary for sadistic is aggressive, brutal, cruel, vicious. It is the fifth and last and lowest level who will stoop so low as to say anything to defend their personal doctrines and theories, be they true or false. Is there any truth in this allegory? What started out as a philosophical, satirical prank against God and His Word snowballed. The theory hit the highlights, another bestseller of the Age of Enlightenment. A little prank wind-up truck ballooned into a juggernaut. The author enjoyed his popularity and excitedly tried to control the exhilaration. However, the truck owner had removed the brakes, and the whole rig raced downhill, uncontrollably picking up breakneck speed towards the capital. The truck ran over people in the marketplace and left many dead, as their faith was killed by this popular, irrational, philosophical steamroller. Finally, the truck crashed. The pamphlets from the truck flew everywhere, people picking them up and reading what this drama was all about. The crash also killed the reckless authors who could not stop the lorry, and these are some of their last words. Thomas Paine, who died in 1809, he was a leading atheist writer from the Americas. His last words, stay with me. For God's sake, I cannot bear to be left alone. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, God, what have I done to suffer so much? What will become of me hereafter? How I would give worlds if I had them. That the Age of Reason had never been published. Oh, Lord, help me. Christ, help me. No, don't leave me. Stay with me. Send even a child to stay with me, for I am on the edge of hell here. If ever the devil had an agent, I have been that one. Sir Francis Newport, who died in 1623, he was the head of an English atheist club, said to those gathered around his deathbed, "You need not to tell me there is no God, for I know there is one, and that I am in his presence. You need not to tell me there is no hell. I feel myself already slipping. Wretches, cease your idle talk about there being hope for me. I know I am lost forever. Oh, that fire! Oh, that insufferable pangs of hell! That I could purchase the favor of God and be united with him again, but it's a fruitless wish." Voltaire, who died in 1778, the famous French philosopher and writer, "I am abandoned by God and man." He said to his physician, Dr. Fauchin, "I will give you half of what I am worth if you will give me 6 more months to live." When he was told this was impossible, he said, "Then shall I die and go to hell." His nurse said, "For all the money in Europe, I wouldn't want to see another unbeliever die." All night long, he cried for forgiveness. Then we have David Hume, who died in 1776, an atheist philosopher. He cried out on his deathbed, "Oh, I'm in flames!" It is said that his desperation was a horrible scene. Thomas Scott, Privy Councillor to James V of Scotland. "Until this moment, I thought there was neither God nor hell. Now I know and feel that there are both, and I am doomed to perdition by the just judgment of the Almighty." Then we have Joseph Stalin. His great purge killed millions. Svetlana, his daughter, told Newsweek, "My father died a terrible death. He suddenly opened his eyes and cast a glance over everyone in the room. It was a terrible glance, insane, bringing down a curse on us all. It was full of menace." The next morning, he was dead. Napoleon Bonaparte died in 1821, the French emperor. He brought death to millions to satisfy his selfish ambitions for world conquest. "I die before my time, and my body will be given back to the earth." Such is the fate of him who has been called the great Napoleon. What an abyss between my deep misery and the eternal kingdom of Christ. Anton LaVey, who died in 1997, he was the author of the Satanic Bible and high priest of the Satanic worship. His dying words were, oh my, what have I done? There is something very wrong." Life is short. Death is sure. Sin is the cause. Christ is the cure. Geneva at Kern, European Council for Nuclear Research, Professor Gunther Scheisel, he was a German nuclear physicist and professor at the Department of Physics at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology in Zurich. He surprised his colleagues this week when he revealed his faith in God, forcing him to reconsider his previous understanding of life and the universe. "I can understand my co-workers' surprise. I have always been known as somewhat of a no-nonsense, anti-religious atheist. Once I threw a heavy physics book at one of my students just because he even mentioned the possibility of intelligent design in the universe." I guess he was right after all, he acknowledged with a grin. The 57-year-old experienced a heart attack during one of the most powerful tests to be done with the Large Hadron Collider yet. "We tried to push the Hadron Collider limits that day and beat our record of 6.5 tera electron volts, the TeV, per beam. And that is when I started to feel uneasy and eventually lost consciousness," he recalls. "Although I was unconscious and my body lay paralyzed on the floor, I felt like I was outside my body and could hear and see all the commotion my heart failure had caused around me," he explains. "That is when beings of light came and comforted me. They did not say anything, but I knew I was going to survive and that my mission on earth had not yet been accomplished. I knew I was not dead. All I remember after that is waking up in the ambulance in excruciating pain. All my preconceived notions of reality were permanently destroyed. How could I face my fellow co-workers and family with such an incoherent story. He wished to tell his story to others because he could no longer live with this burden on his shoulders. All I hope now is that my fellow co-workers respect my beliefs and my newly found understanding of the world. And may God help us to find the true meaning of life, be it through prayer or science, he concluded. A prayer and deciding stand. Dear Jesus, please forgive me for going over to the dark side and speaking against you. I turn my life totally over to you. Please cleanse me now that I'm yours. I don't want anything that's not of you. I'll study the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I'll download a study Bible to let you speak in order to save, cleanse, forgive, and change me.
At johanpeters.in are 27 audios, prophecy bites of 2 to 4 minutes, 90-some pamphlets on many subjects. There are several short books available on how things will soon unfold. A Man of Sufficient Stature, Part 1 and Part 2, which are 2 short booklets. All downloads are free, no cookies,
and no info requests.